like the most famous joke he has about, like, you know, be a man, like,
yeah,
like, do the right thing, be a man,
like, be a man,
be a man, yeah, like the, yeah, the Chinese, yeah, accent he did. And
I'm gonna do it. I'm not getting canceled. I don't care.
No, I don't, yeah, go ahead. I don't give a fuck. They're still selling merch off of that line. Like, to this day, they still sell the merch. Like, when I was at the show, the merch table was like, be a man. And then, like, another couple of things that he has. And people still buy it, bro. And the even more interesting fact is that that was a part of the special, right? The biggest special that blew him up. Be a man. Yeah. That was a part of the special. Of course. He never, he originally never had that in his set. Like, he came up with that, like, literally on the spot as he was doing the bit in the special. Like, he just thought of it and he's like, fuck it, let me say it. He said it and it blew up. And then that's what made his career pretty much.
If you're a reoccurring guest on the podcast, if you've come at least twice, I do not prepare the second time, all right?
Yeah, sometimes it's more fun that way.
Well, first time, you know, if you invite someone to a podcast, you kind of want, you know, I put an effort. I wanted you to be here. I'm a fan of yours. I don't want to just be some random dude that's like, hey, what are you doing? What's up? Tell me about, like, what you think about the latest, sure, like, Kardashian drama.
Yeah. No, you want to make it relevant the first time for sure.
But I'm so happy you're here because a lot has changed since the last time we talked. You're absolutely crushing it. Man, I don't even know where to start. Do we start with the special you got? Do we start with opening up for Russell Peters? Do we start with VidCon? I mean, tell me what life has been like last 2 years.
It's good, man. VidCon. Yeah. It's been great, bro. It's the result of staying consistent and putting in that daily effort, man. Just working on the brand and the business over the past few years. And, you know, right now it's actually a slow time, but it's kind of like a build few months right now. Back to the basics, kind of, you know, where I was at, like, 2021 era, where the pandemic was still going on and, like, we were all locked down. I was, like, pumping out content that whole, like, year and a half. And so that's pretty much what I'm doing right now is, like, I'm just, like, really focusing on writing and reading, researching, like, filming a bunch of shit, working on my stand-up a lot, writing a lot. And then eventually, after, like, a few months, when it gets into the fall, that's when I'll get out there and, like, I'll do way more, like, shows. Or we're moving to New York in the fall. So,
oh, dope. Congrats.
I mean, new venture. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. That's just, like, the mecca of comedy. And in order to get better as a comedian, you got to be in the hub of, like, the best comedians in the world, right? So,
so not Austin, Texas, is what you
Austin's good too. Austin's great too, but that's more like it's just like New York is such a bigger grind, and it's like it makes you tougher and makes you stronger. And then when you go out to any other city after that, it's like a cakewalk. Obviously, Austin, Texas is like really good too right now because of Joe Rogan is, you know, the new club he's opened up. It's like the new comedy store pretty much, but yeah, man. Like, just being in the States in general is better for someone like me and our business because, you know, there's way more opportunity down there, more money, more resources, more people.
Yeah, the last one's huge. The people one is really underlooked. When you have other people that are also grinding and they also want to collaborate, you have more content. Like, when you're by yourself in your fucking basement, you're trying to figure out how the hell am I going to get like 7 videos a week with no one here.
Well, I mean, I do it anyway because
you still figure it out because you're an animal. But I'm saying
that's how I fucking roll. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Kobe, 81, baby.
Let's go, baby. Mama mentality. Let's get it. Yeah. So that's the move, man. But yeah, Russell Peters opening was fucking fantastic. It was a highlight of my life for sure. Like, the fact that I watched him as a kid with my dad on the TV, and then, like, all of a sudden now I'm like with him for 3 shows in a row opening up for him was just so surreal. It was one of the best, biggest milestones of my career for sure. And it was just cool meeting my comedic idol, you know? And
yeah, I imagine.
He was cool too and really funny in person and just like chill. Like, it was even better. So
he's also like an all-around professional. He's been doing it for like 20 years. So you get to see a little
20 years, what bro. That looks 35 like. Years. More 35 like 35 years. Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's been a long time, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just – if anything, this proves that – anything is possible as long as you put your mind to it and you just keep trying, man, because that's exactly what I went into comedy, like, thinking. Like, I was like, I'm going to go into the comedy because I want to fucking open for this guy. I want to do this. I want to do that. And most of it is, well, not most, but like a lot of it is coming true as I go.
Yeah.
Because of the mindset.
You manifested everything you've said. And I remember, like, last time we talked, I'm like, damn, this guy, I can hear the way this guy talks. I'm like, I know he's gonna do a big, whether it takes him a 6 months, a year or two, it doesn't really matter. It's gonna happen.
10 years doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly. I'll never stop. Yeah.
Any funny Russell Peters stories? Anything like that kind of surprised you about him?
Honestly, yeah. One thing, I guess. Well, I mean, I read his book, and I highly recommend. It's pretty cool. It's a cool, interesting book about his life. Most of the material that he does anywhere and for however long his career has been, he rarely writes. Like, actually, rarely sits down and writes. He just, everything comes off the top of his head, pretty much.
Wow.
So he's just fucking making jokes, like, naturally, like, just off the top of his head, which is crazy to me, because, like, I've started to write, like, consistently for the past 4 or 5 months now, every day. And just by writing, my comedy has gotten so much better, and just, like, way tighter, way sharper. I know more things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So sure. I've just naturally gotten better. But the fact that he doesn't really write baffles me, because I'm like, it's like comedy is meant to write. You have, like, it's like that's the part of the art, is to write it. But
yeah. Define, everyone's different. Trim the words, find the right words, find the right timings. All
everything. But that just shows you how much of a genius he is and how successful he's been. Like, he's still touring arenas around the world. And did you know that he's like the he has the most run of arenas out of any comedian in the world.
No, like, fucking way. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the longest running.
He has Chappelle beat. He has,
yeah, because you know why? Because he's more worldwide than anybody.
Oh,
like, right. Chappelle and those guys are, like, massive as well, but yeah, they don't have, like, I don't know, certain countries that Russell Peters has that he can go and like sell out arenas. You know what I'm saying? So
crazy.
He crushes Asia, man. He crushes, like, fucking India, obviously, right? Like, you know, so a couple parts of Africa. Like, he's worldwide, right? So, and that's something, like, I want to do too. It's like, that's my dream in life, is to tour the world. But another fun fact about him is,
I like that you're looking up at the camera every time. It's like you're talking to fucking Jesus or something.
Yeah, well, you're
I'm assuming
Jesus.
On a monitor.
Yeah, you're a monitor. You're yeah, you're Jesus, bro. Don't worry.
Yeah,
Nelly's my Jesus, brate.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Carry on. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah. Another fun fact about Russell is, you know the joke where, like, the most famous joke he has about, like, you know, be a man? Like,
yeah.
Like, do the right thing. Be a man. Like,
be a man.
Be a man. Yeah, like the Chinese accent he did. And
I'm gonna do it. I'm not getting canceled. I don't care.
No, go ahead. I don't give a fuck. They're still selling merch off of that line. Like, to this day, they still sell the merch. Like, when I was at the show, the merch table was like, be a man, and then, like, another couple of things that he has, and people still buy it, bro. And the even more interesting fact is that that was a part of the special, right? The biggest special that blew him up, be a man.
Yeah.
That was a part of the special.
Of course.
He never, he originally never had that in his set. Like, he came up with that, like, literally on the spot as he was doing the bit in the special. Like, he just thought of it and he's like, fuck it, let me say it. He said it and it blew up. And then that's what made his career, pretty much.
That's actually insane. To think that he is that level of funny, that he can just on the top of his head come up with material that's worthy of a special.
Spot.
It's not crowd work. It's not like something like, yeah, it's funny, naturally happy. It's just him being in that zone.
He just knows. Well, like, it's not that he doesn't write. Like, I don't mean that literally. I mean, like, he has, like, notes.
He has notes, but he's not, like, meticulous.
No, he's not, like, sitting down writing fucking for hours. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has it, like, written in the notes, like, quickly. Just like, oh, I'm going to talk about this and this. And then he just kind of takes that bit, like the premise, and he goes on stage and he, like, improvises or riffs on it. And then that's how it, like, I personally do that too. Like, honestly, like, half the time. Sometimes I don't know how to write it, or, like, I'll just, like, let me just, like, go up without writing it first to see, like, where I can take it. And then, yeah. But anyway.
I think you were saying, like, he has that worldwide audience. And I think that's, we talked about this last time as well. You've done a really good job of making those videos that are specific to certain groups. So one day you will set yourself up to, bro, if you go to Serbia right now, I guarantee you I'll get 1,000 Serbs to watch. I'll make some phone calls. We can get 1,000 Serbs in that fucking arena. No problem. So I think that's the way you've done that. I don't know if you actually thought of that in the past when you were, you know, making videos, but it's brilliant.
100%. Like, that's the goal, man. Like, and I obviously understand there's language barriers in certain countries, but I feel like you can always find English speaking people at this point.
For sure.
In this day and age, bro, you can find at least, even if it's 100 people in the an entire country, you can find that many people. And that's still sick. That's still a good show. Still, like, you know, you could do a proper venue.
Of course. If you have 20 people, 30, 40, I mean, that's unreal. Like, I was thinking of trying some stuff because I've been writing a lot of notes. Like, I've been living a pretty crazy life here in Spain in the last 6 months.
Just doing benders or what, huh? Buddy's going off Ibiza benders, eh?
Ric Flair fucking drip. God damn. No, there's just been crazy. Like, just naturally life here is more interesting. I'm going out more often. I'm not inside my house like in Canada.
Well, yeah, because there's been more of a lifestyle over stories.
There's more of
a nightlife. There's people like to have fun over there, but I mean, at the same time, no one fucking works. So
that there is a trade-off. Yeah.
Fucking siesta for 7 hours in the middle of the day. I'm taking a nap. Like, what are you guys doing, bro? Get to work. Yeah, in Italy it's even worse, bro. Italy is fucking literally the entire day. Everyone's just sleeping. Everyone's just having espressos and fucking biscottis, and then they go to sleep for 7 hours.
Honestly, let me explain this, though. Why would you want to work here? Buddy, it's sunny 300 days of the year. There's hot females everywhere. It's like no one's thinking about money. You don't need money to land a hot Latina.
Yeah, they're just like way more chill and more down because that's just a part of the lifestyle there.
That's just how it is. The amount of dudes that I've seen there are like fours, fives, sixes, just
pulling
dimes next dimes is ludicrous. It doesn't even my brain still has like in my bed I'm like sleeping sometimes and I just like, wait a minute, that guy really have that girlfriend? Is that for real? Like, I can't comprehend it.
That's crazy, bro.
It's a supply and demand issue, you know. It's a supply. Yeah. There's too many of them here.
So too many what?
Too many hot girls for like not enough hot really guys.
Wow.
I genuinely believe that. I know it's a crazy statement, but I believe it.
Fuck, that's crazy. Damn, I'm going to move to Spain, bro. Fuck this.
Buddy, it's like all that. Come to Spain.
Yeah. I'm leaving my family, bro. I'm going to go. I need some 10 models.
They'll be there. You can come back with a model. They'll be so proud of you. Like, they won't even be mad. They'll understand.
Facts.
Like, but I was trying to say,
my stupid son has a girlfriend.
No, not a girlfriend. My fucking son has a supermodel. Like, holy shit.
Seriously, Cristiano Ronaldo over here.
I was saying, like, comedy, I want to just do some random, whether it's eat dick on stage for 5 minutes. It doesn't really matter. Just tell some funny stories, because as I tell my stories to my friends, in a weird way, I've kind of refined the stories to, like, shorter and shorter parts. We're like, oh, this part wasn't that interesting when I told it that time. I'm going to tell it differently. That, in a weird way, I'm really getting a lot of enjoyment out of telling these stories. And maybe it's also in a podcast form that works, but I feel like in front of an audience is just way more interesting.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of doing stand-up, man, is to fucking try shit that you don't know if it'll work. And that's what's exciting. Because, like, it could definitely bomb, but...
Oh, of course. That's the fear that makes it fun. It's like the little fear in life that makes things interesting. If you're never afraid, it feels like life's pretty boring. I don't know.
Yeah, 100%.
This current special, how long have you been working on that material?
That was over the past 7 years of my career.
Wow. I'll
put into like one 45-minute set. And yeah, man, I just wanted to get it out of there. You know, it's like a lot. It's weird because usually comedians take longer to put out like their first like album, like not even a special, just like a recorded like album. But like for me, I was like, fuck it, bro. Like, we have the resources, we have the fans. I feel like I'm just like ready to, you know, do my first one. And we just did it, man. We did a tour and it was successful and people came out. We sold out every city and, you know, the love was crazy. Meet and greet lines were long as fuck and everyone wanted to take pictures, which is super dope. And so I was just super grateful for that. And it was all run on our own. My brother, like my manager, obviously, like he's the one who like produced the entire tour. He did all the work on his own. So without him, bro, I wouldn't be here. Like, so, and then like our whole team as well. And so, but like I feel like even though I look back on the material now that's on the special, I fucking, some of them, like, this is cringe, like, this is garbage, like, I could have done this way better. But at the end of the day, that's how comedy is. Like, you're going to put out stuff, and, like, literally the week later, you're going to realize, oh, fuck, like, this wasn't even that great or whatever. But it's good because you can look back and be like, okay, here's how I can improve. And it's just, like, kind of, like, every comedian knows the first one you put out, you immediately become a better comic. Like, and I feel that, literally. Like, as I was, like, literally after the tour was done, I started writing new material. And I was like, bro, this is way funnier than the special. Like, I'm doing an hour-long set now for my weekly shows in Toronto, doing all new material, 100% new material. And I swear, I told my brother, I was like, bro, I could do this as a tour set that's better than the actual tour set I've worked on for all those years. Because I'm actually writing for the first time, and, like, I'm just going more deep. I'm being more vulnerable on stage. I'm telling stories, not just, like, doing an accent or, like, I don't know, or, like, you know, do more surface level stuff.
Yeah.
Or, like, self-deprecating about my weight and shit. Like, it's kind of, like, easy stuff, right? And so, yeah, man.
Yeah, you don't want to fall into a trap of that, right?
Like, no.
You're funny also, a billion other ways, you know?
That's what I'm saying. And you also want to just go make sure you go deeper, because people can relate to that way more. And it's more interesting and unique when people are, like, being more vulnerable. And so that's what I'm trying to go for now.
No, it's beautiful. I saw the special. I enjoyed it. It's like your videos as well, right? Like, the first couple videos probably weren't great. The first couple whatever videos weren't great, but it's going to get better. And putting it out there, I mean, that's what you've done throughout your career.
Yeah, that's the point. Is like, if you don't put out, then you're never going to learn and grow from that and make progress. So I believe in just, like, continuing to put stuff out every day.
What I really liked was, we talked about this as well before, it was like the evolution of YouTube content and how long you were doing the YouTube grind and didn't really think too much about results. You were trying your best to make interesting videos, but we talked about, like, algorithm. You're like, oh, algorithm might fuck me here, but you're like, I don't care. It is what it is. And then all of a sudden YouTube drops that update with shorts a bunch of your smashes. Like 60 second or lower videos get converted to shorts, and it just takes off. You go from like 5,000 subscribers to like 150.
Yeah, I know.
Do you remember opening up your, like, app, your YouTube studio, and, like...
Yeah, it was crazy, bro. For, like, a few months straight, every month, it was, like, 30,000 new subscribers. That's fucking mental. 50,000. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, millions of views. I'm like, holy shit. And, like, it was cool. But then, as soon as it kind of slowed down, it's been literally at a stop this entire time.
Really?
Yeah, it hasn't moved up. Like after I posted this special, actually, I gained a few thousand new subscribers. But nonetheless, like, it's still, like, it's just, like, it just kind of died off because, well, also, we kind of became inconsistent with the posting as well. But at the same time, I'm like, man, I have so many things I have to handle. And, like, you know, luckily I have Cyrus, who's, like, a part of my team who handles, like, the behind the scenes, like, posts and stuff for me as well on different platforms if I need to. So it's, like... But it was just too much to handle at once. We were stretching ourselves too thin. So we kind of just, like, put YouTube Shorts on a hold, especially because it was slowed down anyway. So,
right. It kind of synced up perfectly that way.
Yeah, but because instead we're like, yo, let's just double down on the ones that are working right now. Like, Instagram and, like, you know, TikTok are the main platforms where people are actually interacting with us. And, like, they're big fans. And so it's more of a community. YouTube, there's some, like, pretty good, like, diehard fans on YouTube as well, for sure. But... Instagram is, like, the main one, and then TikTok as well. So
what's interesting to me is the whole perception can be your reality, because let's say you put out 100 videos on YouTube and you're not seeing any traffic, you're not seeing any result. Maybe in your own mind you think, man, maybe these videos suck, maybe they're not good enough. And then a day comes along where there's an update or something and YouTube just decides to open the gates, let a bunch of people see your content, and then it blows up. So now your perception is, oh wait, these videos are actually good. They're amazing. People love them. Clearly, there's millions of views. So it's like you've manifested whatever bubble you want to be in your own head.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so many videos of mine have bombed or tanked, partly because maybe they are bad, but also I feel like a lot of it is people just haven't seen it enough. I feel like if people see the videos, like, it's actually good content and I actually put in the work. And then, like, when it does go viral, I'm like, yeah, see, like, I fucking knew it. Like,
right.
This deserves more views, more recognition. But at the same time, we're happy that the brand is growing slow, because it just becomes stronger and stronger.
Yes.
The bigger you get, you know, because, like, it's more of a foundation you build along the way. and you keep stacking brick by brick, it'll become much stronger. You know what I'm saying? So rather than like starting from nothing and then all of a sudden, boom, like goes skyrockets. Like, I feel like it's a little too much at once. And it's hard
to sustain. Well, you won't get those hardcore fans. No, you won't get those loyal fans. Like, if you blow up a video right now and it gets like a million views and you get like 20,000 subscribers, those aren't people that are like really hardcore fans. People that are fans, I feel like, are the ones that like see one of your videos and then maybe down the road get recommended another and another. And they're like, all right, this guy has proved enough times that he's funny, makes good content. I'm going to subscribe to him.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's why you need to build that the catalog of videos and material over like a span of a few months or in my opinion, a few years at least.
Yeah.
Because then it's like your actions will show, like, you're consistent. And you know, you're obviously putting out good stuff. And so that's what makes people want to like really stick around. And you're right. Like, there's so many people still to this day who've known me for years, but still don't follow me. And that's crazy to me. Yeah. But I get it. I understand, because there's like so many people I see on my feed sometimes. I'm like, I've seen their stuff, but I never follow them. But it's nothing personal. It's just that, like, I don't know. Like, I don't really care as much to like see what their life is about. I just like their videos here and there. And so that's a reality too, is like, for me, especially because I'm doing comedy, it's subjective, right? So you know, like, not everyone's gonna like be like die hard, but they'll be interested for sure. Maybe they like certain videos. Maybe that's like, that's why, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care about other shit. I just want to see these. So that stuff like is just interesting to know, but it shouldn't stop you from like continuing to put more stuff out.
I draw a lot of similarities with like what I'm trying to build a podcast, and I'm fully aware of the difficulty it is to build a variety podcast in 2023. But like, I'm trying to build a catalog of insane guests. Like, if you go back to episodes I've done, I've had like the guys from Narcos on my podcast. I've had like Victoria. Yeah, I've had both the Narcos guys. I've had like UFC champions, Steve Murphy and Javier Pena. They were both like the guys that were real. Like, I have a catalog. Look at my catalog, I've always tried to get good guests and people that I'm interested in and create a good episode with them. It's like your thing. It's like, if it takes fucking 10 years for a bigger volume of people to see the podcast, I don't care, because what I've built, I think, is a pretty good
great, man. That's amazing, honestly. Like, a lot of people can't even say that they've done something like that. So
you know a crazy stat? I'll give you a crazy stat. 95% of podcasts, and there's like 4 or 5 million of them now and probably growing, do not make it past episode 20.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Right? So that brings you down to like maybe 20, 30,000 podcasts total that go after episode 20. And then when we go to like episode 100, we're probably down to a couple hundred, maybe under 1,000.
Mm.
So to me, it's like, yeah, it's hyper competitive. But if you stick to it, eventually, I think you can, maybe I'm wrong, but I think you can build something out of it.
100%. That's what Joe Rogan did. This guy's been at it for like 20 years.
Right. This guy was fucking filming out of his basement with Brian Redband.
Literally, bro. Him and, you know, Bert Kreischer and all these early guests, like, in his bedroom. Yeah. Like, it's fucking nuts. Like, but deservingly so. Like, look at where he's at.
Are you still doing your podcast with your brother, or no? Were you doing?
No, we stopped that like a year and a half ago, to be honest. But it's just like, it was something that we kind of just, well, yeah, it was another thing that like, it was kind of taking away from the main focus of what I wanted to build. But down the line, when we have more money or more resources and time, then we'd like to introduce it in a different way. Maybe it's like not weekly this time or every other whatever, but maybe it's like once a month thing.
Why
I want to do my own podcast where it's like a comedy podcast where I can have one funny comedian as my guest every month and then just put it out. So, yeah.
That's what every comedian does now. Yeah.
Right?
That's what like every comedian is doing now. I mean, it's a great way to grow your network.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. So down the line, 100%. But I feel like it's important to build the audience, the main audience, on the socials first. And then imagine you introduce a podcast at 1 million followers. And like, you're getting a crazy engagement. Like, bro, like, you're going to get at least a few thousand regular listeners at that point. And then that's when you can gain another revenue stream. And for me, it's like, I love making money, and I want to make money. I'm not saying I'm doing this for the money, but I am in a way, because I just want to make more money so I can put it back into investing into the brand, so I can do more of what I'm already doing on a higher level. So I am doing it for the money. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I also love.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I love what I do. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people are like, "No, I do it for a passion." Like, but yeah, but passion is bullshit. Like, you can't just rely on passion. You know what I'm saying?
The harsh reality of life is that everything requires money, and I look at same things with me. It's like, if I didn't have money, I wouldn't be able to buy lights and cameras and mics and have free time to talk to people. Yeah. Like, money buys freedom to me. That's the ultimate.
Oh yeah, that's exactly it, man. It's for the freedom more than anything.
Like today, nothing else matters. Tennis at 11 in the morning, like on a fucking what is it Tuesday in Spain? Like,
yeah,
I could do that. Tell me, I could do that with no money. Tell me how I can do this.
Are you in the same time zone as me right now?
Fuck no. Are you? You're in Canada?
Yeah. I'm Eastern time.
No, I'm 6 hours ahead of you. I'm in Spain. I'm in Valencia.
Valencia. Oh, okay. So wait. Oh, you're 6 hours ahead.
Yeah. So for me, it's 5:20. 5:30.
5:30. Interesting. So it's halfway through the fiesta of the day.
You know, I stopped the siesta for this podcast, so you should be honored. I've canceled the siesta for today.
Are you a Valencia fan now? What was that? The jersey you're wearing?
Yeah, brother. I've been going to games like every week. It's such a fun
atmosphere.
Wow,
really? How much are tickets over there?
Bro, 25 euros.
What? That's it? Yeah. And it's like, where are the seats?
Let me show. I can show you. Fuck. I mean, I have video.
The thing I love about like European, like Europe is like culture, all the fucking soccer cities, games, bro. The soccer games and shit. Oh, that's legit. So that little barrier in the way.
Well, that little barrier, but it's not relevant when you start watching the video. So this was like 2 weeks ago. Valencia's doing pretty shit, actually. Like, they're fighting for relegation. I mean, they just got out of relegation. They're going to be staying in the league, but it's a fun atmosphere for 25 euros on a Wednesday night. I would love for you to find me a better time.
Right. Honestly, that's a great place for it to take a date, too, I think.
The Latinas love football. You know this.
Well, of course. Yeah. It's like breathing for them.
They showed me like, oh, I was here during the World Cup. Oh, buddy, this is a good one. I was here during the World Cup and Argentina won. 20,000 Argentinian people in the center lighting up the place. All like in light Spain? Blue like this. Yeah, of course.
There's Argentinians in Spain?
There's tens of thousands of them. It was chaos in the streets. Latin American people moved to Spain. That's like their promised land. You didn't know this?
No.
Well, Argentina right now has like 98% fucking inflation. Their economy is going down the shitter. Like, it's not a great place to be. So where do you go? Stable economy, Spain. You speak the language.
True,
you probably have relatives. Easy EU passport.
I guess it's the only other country they could go to outside of their continent that's the same language.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nowhere else speaks Spanish.
That's it. This is their promised land. This is their Mecca.
That's pretty good.
They go back to their colonizers to recolonize.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All right. There's another thing I want to ask you. VCon.
Oh, yeah. Gary VCon.
Tell me VCon. About that. That must have been a trip.
That was crazy, too. That was, you know, and Gary V told us that he's been watching my videos for 2 years before he reached out.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because he wanted to see if I was going to stay consistent. And I fucking did because that's how I roll. But also, that also goes to show what happens when you fucking stay consistent. This is, bro, another thing I forgot to mention, like when we reached out to Russell's team, like Clayton, which is his manager, and also his older brother, just like mine, when we emailed them to like, you know, pick their brain or something like that, we had some questions about touring. He literally got back within 5 minutes. He's like, yeah, like we're actually big fans of Nima. And the fact that he said that made me realize like this all happened because I posted content online. Otherwise, no one would know who I am, right? Russell Peters' whole team were fans of mine, of my videos. And like that, I wouldn't have had that opportunity to open for him if I didn't post content. So content is king. And the only reason I did that was because I listened to Gary Vee. I took Gary Vee's motto of posting content and I did that by imitating him as well. And then he saw my videos of him, and then he reached out, saying, "Hey, you want to come to VCon open for him on stage in front of 4,000 people, as Gary Vee?" I'm like, "Fuck yeah!" And then that's
so many
it.
Layers to this onion. It's beautiful.
It's so it's Inception, bro. It's Gary Vee-ception.
Gary
Vee-ception. And so that's it, man. Like fucking yeah. Like when that happened, bro, I was ecstatic. I was over the moon because I was like, I fucking knew it, bro. I always tell myself, I'm gonna do this, And then as along the journey, every day I think about it. At the same time, I'm actually doing the work. And then eventually it happens. It, like everything I've wanted to do so far, it's been happening. Like David Goggins, I'm doing David Goggins impressions. I'm like, I need to get David Goggins' attention. This guy reposts my video on his page, it blows up, and then DMs me saying some motivational shit. And I have screenshots of his message to me. I put it on my home screen, so I look at it every day.
Holy and then like, shit, that's wild.
Yeah, and then fucking Alex Hormozi. I do impression of Alex Hormozi. Find out that they're fans of my Persian stuff. Who would have thought, right? It's like,
right.
And so it's like, I met him and we actually like hung out and had lunch. So I'm like, this is all possible because of content. And if anyone says otherwise or thinks otherwise, you're dumb at this point.
Nonsense.
Because, like, I've proven at this point that it's like the proof is in the pudding.
Everyone's proven it. You're not the only, like, that's the thing. Like, I'm not saying me.
The people have done shit.
Yeah.
Like, for the other people who haven't done shit, they should be looking up to people like these.
Of course. Of course. The only reason you wouldn't is because of your own jealousy or your own insecurities. If you don't appreciate someone doing well in their own journey, it's because you're trapped in your horrendous one and that's your source, right? To get some hate out of your system, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
So Gary Vee, I mean, please describe to me what it was like meeting the man, the myth, the legend.
He was dope, man. He's just exactly how he is online. Like, he's just like humble, kind guy, you know, very busy, very, very busy. Like, he walked into the room when I first met him. I met him the night before in the hotel room, when he was in the lobby. And I was having dinner with his friends who are also huge fans of mine. Because they invited me to have dinner with him. And I had dinner with them and Seth Green. And Seth Green was just, beside me the whole time. And, just talking about Family Guy and shit.
Wild.
Fucking nuts.
Wild.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then, one of his boys was like, yo, you met Gary, right? I was like, no, I haven't met him yet. And he's like, what? You haven't met G? They call him G. I was like, no, man, I haven't. And then he calls him. He's like, yo, where are you at? And then he was coincidentally in that same lobby. So we got up. I went up to the lobby. He's at the counter, paying for, the room or some shit. And then one of his boys is like, yo, G. And then he turns around, sees me, and he's like, yo, what's up, man? Daps me up. Like, he obviously recognized me, too.
Of course.
And then it was just crazy. I was like, fucking, you know, thanks for having me, man. He's like, yeah, it's a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming, man. It's going to be fucking fun. I'm like, yeah, thanks, man. It's going to be sick. And then that's
it, bro. Did he sell you an NFT? Did he sell you an NFT?
Yeah. The day after. But the next day, when we're in the actual stadium, before going on stage, we're in the back room, the green room, with everyone. I'm sitting down, waiting for him to come in so we can, figure out what we're doing. He walks in with 7 people, 3 cameramen, 2 people on social media, fucking another director, whatever, manager, assistant. And then, he walks in, it's like his entourage, pretty much.
There's a walking reality show.
Yeah, literally, bro. It's like cameras are already rolling, bro. I have no chance to even, fix my hair, pick my nose and shit. I'm already on camera, bro. I'm on blast regardless of whether I like it or not. So he comes, sits down beside me. We talk for, 7 minutes. And then as soon as we're done, he's gets up. All right, man, see you out there. And then, fucking walks away. And then, goes to the next thing. But the whole time you're talking to him, he actually gives you his attention, which is nice.
Yeah.
But,
he's present. He's present, though. When he's present, there, he's present. Present. Yeah.
Present. But it's very short time. Yeah. But understandably so. It's fucking busy. This guy took 4,000 pictures with people. There was a picture line to meet Gary at the VCon. Bro, he's literally there for 8 hours taking pictures of people. He was nuts.
See, that guy's humble as fuck, bro. Yeah, I was going to say that would seem counterintuitive to a guy that's constantly moving and on the go and values his time so much. But that goes to show you how much he values his fans.
That's his brand.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from him just from watching that. So,
you went on stage.
That's invaluable. That's invaluable.
Right?
Sorry?
You went on stage with him.
I was the first person to go on stage as Gary Vee when they announced Gary Vee. And then everyone was obviously laughing because I'm like, I'm not Gary Vee. But then after 5 minutes, he finally came out and then we were our arms around each other, he was saying some shit. And then he was like, that's where I finished that one off. And then he continued.
You're the opening act for.
Yeah, pretty much.
Put that on your resume.
Yeah, me and the other guy, Ami, he's the other Gary Vee impersonator. But it was sick. It was so fun. And just a great opportunity.
Yeah. What else is in the future in terms of like big plans, big picture stuff? Those are some massive bucket list items, I assume. Now you got to come up with new ones.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I definitely want to get on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yes.
And I think it's going to happen.
Did you see the video? Did Joe see the videos you made?
I don't know. But I know that some of his friends have seen it because,
holy shit.
First of all, Russell Peters is friends with Joe Rogan.
Yes.
And he's liked the videos I've posted of Joe Rogan. Like literally liked the videos. Bert Kreischer commented on one of them saying great voices because I was doing a parody of like Joe Rogan talking to Joey Diaz, whatever. And they're literally, Bert was on his podcast twice in 2 months. Like they're boys, like they're best friends.
Right, right.
So I'm like, he's definitely, I think he's seen it for sure. But I have a theory. It's going to be the same thing as the Gary Vee thing where he's going to be watching for a while because I've only posted like 3 videos, right? It's like still not enough to like be like, okay, he's legit. I'm going to keep posting them more and more and get better. And then like, I feel like maybe after a year or so, I don't know. However long it takes, he's going to finally be like, all right, man, like this guy's funny. Like, you know, he's been doing my impression for a while. No one else is doing it like he is because literally no one else is doing impressions of him. And then eventually
when you think about it.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Doing it. And then after a while, he's going to be like, okay, like he's actually funny. He has like, he does stand up. He's a comedian. Like, and the thing about Joe Rogan that I love is like, he's for the people. He's
for the comedians.
He loves comics. He loves putting on for comedians. So it's like, it's bound to happen. It has to happen. And a couple of my boys have been on his podcast already. Like
Ryan Long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Ryan Long is my boy from Toronto. Like I literally opened for me when I went to New York to do my show. So it's like, I just know it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm already in that field. Like, so that's a big one for me. And then we're actually planning on the next tour, which is end of 2024. And we're going to hit a bunch of cities in Canada.
Coming to Spain? Come on, please say
España. No, not this time. But the next tour after that, possibly.
Hell yeah. You got a place to stay when you
get there. The world tour, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, the next one's going to be just like,
my place, by then, my super nice penthouse will not be good enough. You will literally need to have a fucking pool covered in coke and just strippers.
I need a yacht,
I know, and I won't be able to supply that. Like, I'm doing pretty well here, but no, I won't be doing that well by 2025. You know, like,
hey, it's all right, man. No, it'll be more like 2028 by that point.
2028,
yeah. Yeah, man, this is pretty much the main things. And then, yeah, eventually, like, I want to do my own movie, too. I want to build my own movie in this next, like, 5-6 years.
A movie about what? What would it be, like, your life?
It'll be, like, pretty much, like, based around, like, my characters, but mainly my one character, Babak, the Persian character I have, because that's the strongest one I have, and it's like very close to me as a person, and I feel like I already have an idea of like how I want to like do it, and you know, it's kind of like gonna be like Borat style, you know what I'm saying, based around
character. Really,
yeah, I want to do something like that, and like I want to do a funny comedy that's like a back in the day comedy, you know what I'm saying, like not less like soft
shit.
You know,
yes.
I want to make it like really like not offensive, but like I want to push the boundaries a little bit, you know, kind of like Borat, right? It's like, he's still kind of like not politically correct. So,
I get what you're saying. Like, there's a different level that comedy was in like the early 2000s. That's
comedies were in early 2000s.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Like, if you notice, like, there's what good comedy has come out in the past, like 10 years even. Like, the last good one was Hangover, pretty much. That was like a really solid
15 years comedy. Ago. Fuck yeah,
that's what I'm saying. So like, because everyone's like scared to get canceled and say wrong things or do whatever, but I feel like it's gonna come back, man. Like The Machine, like Bert Kreischer's movie, The
Yes. Machine.
I'm gonna go watch that tonight, actually, with my brother. I feel like something like that is like the start of like bringing it back to like funny comedies, you know what I'm saying? Like, so
I think Bert and Joe were talking about that. Like, essentially,
on this podcast,
a comedy like that could like really snowball into other comedians that also want
to. Yeah, which really will happen.
Fucking, like Tim Dillon needs to have a movie.
Tim Dillon, 100%. Yeah, Shane
Gillis.
One of the
funniest guys on the planet. Shane Gillis. Like, I mean, his channel, YouTube channel, Shane Gillis' YouTube channel is one of the best on the planet.
Gillian Keeves. Yeah, fucking hilarious, man.
Like ISIS Toyota car dealer. Like, that's one of the greatest sketches ever made.
Have you seen the Trump one he did?
Yeah,
like, of course. Last year? Bro, so funny, bro. So fucking funny.
On another level, Shane Gillis is one of all-time faves.
Really good, yeah.
What about, have you seen, like, Rami?
Yeah. I haven't seen the show, but I know who he is, yeah. But
him and Mo both have their own Netflix.
Yeah, I love Mo. Yeah. Mo was a good fucking show. I love Mo. Mo was good.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I was thinking when you said a show or a movie, I was thinking like along those lines because, but those are not full. I mean, yes, they're comedies, but they also have a quite a bit of drama and.
Yeah. I like that shit too. But I think my first one, I want to do just like a full strictly comedy. But then later on, that's when I'll like make it more like a real life kind of like dramatic, but also funny. Like the beauty is like you can do whatever the fuck you want. Like I can do it whenever I want, however I want. And so I don't know, just whatever I want to work on first, I'll do that. And then the next one will be something different. And that's it. Like, it's endless, man. Your creativity is endless.
Are you looking at a lot of your analytics and stuff like that, saying, oh, the audience is really like this type of video I'm going to make? Because I see a trap in that as well, because you might want to only make one kind of videos. But how much are you paying attention now at this level that you're like 500,000 fucking followers on every platform? Does it matter anymore?
I mean, like, somewhat, but I don't pay attention to it at all. Like I just do whatever I think is funny at this point, especially now. I've entered a next level of like going a little deeper even on my content, like just really pushing a little bit more boundary, more real kind of vulnerable ideas that people can really relate to, or maybe start a debate even in the comment, you know what I'm saying, something that's more engaging. So not just like me doing characters, but like real sketches. So I just kind of do whatever I think is funny. And yeah, man, like obviously I still have the favorites that people like, and like I'll still do them, but it's not my main focus of like, oh, I have to do these videos. Like I'll just have it in the back of my mind. But you always want to innovate and do newer stuff. You have to. So that's what I'm doing right now.
This is a really random off-topic question. When's the last time you had a vacation? Because I remember how much we talked about this last time, how many videos you were pumping out, and it only got crazier since then. So I'm wondering, do you have free time? Do you even understand the concept of free time?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's so many, like, well, to answer the first question, I went to my boy's bachelor party in Mexico, like, in January.
Let's go. Such a classic Ontario thing to do. I love it.
100%, yeah. For like 5 days, we went to Mexico, Cabo. It was fun. It was great. And then, yeah, like pretty much. Oh, I also went after the tour finished. I don't know if you knew this, but I filmed the whole movie. I was a lead in a movie for 3 weeks.
I didn't know this after my tour finished. I told you, I did no research this time around. You have to tell me what you did.
Yeah, so that's also coming out in September, October, hopefully.
Is there information on that, or am I?
I'm not sure. It's still like early stages, but it's going to be like possibly on TIFF and like in film festivals.
Oh, dope! Yeah. Wow, good for you.
Yeah. So anyway, after that, I went to Vegas and LA for like 2 weeks with my team and shit, and then yeah, that was cool. And then, but yeah, man, honestly, I love what I do like so much. Like I don't see the need to like have free time. Like I incorporate free time daily in like smaller bits. You know what I'm saying? Like so I don't go crazy, because before. My life was way too chaotic, where I'm 24/7 thinking about content and material and comedy, where like you need to separate the two, like especially now, like in the past like 3-4 weeks, I've really been like focusing on my health, and my priority is my health.
Yes, you look great.
Thank you.
I'm trying to suck you off too hard.
But yeah, it's all right. Yeah, you can if you want, but but like I realized, you know, without my health, like I can't do my career on a high level. So that's why I'm really focusing on that stuff right now, and you know, working on like the human side before I work on the career side. So it's a daily thing for me, and I love every aspect of it, and you know, I don't mind doing it every day. So yeah, it's just like
it's a priority. I mean, everyone should have health as number one priority, and then everything else needs to come secondary, man. I think in the 100%. Long run, what kind of benefits have you seen already from?
Oh man,
yeah.
So, like, I've been doing this thing called 75 hard for, it's been 16 days now. And, it's the most progress I've ever made in the shortest amount of time in my entire life. Like, so 75 hard is this program made by Andy Frazella. He's like a high performance coach, life coach, whatever. He does a couple other things too, but, my boy Bish, he did this program for 2 years straight. He was my weight when he started. He was like 350. And then in 2 years, he lost 160 pounds. He became jacked, and like he's blown up all over Instagram, TikTok, everywhere because of his videos and his transformation video, like millions of views, like worldwide. It went viral on House of Highlights, Sports Center. It went viral everywhere. And that's what actually like, inspired me to start doing the program too. So 75 hard is a program where it's more of a discipline program, where it's like it's a mental thing more than a physical. So the idea of the challenge is that every day for 75 days, you have to do two workouts, 45 minutes each. One has to be outdoor, one can be indoor, but one has to be outdoor. You have to follow a certain diet, no cheat meals or alcohol. You have to drink like a gallon of water a day, read 10 pages of a book a day. It's more of just like to get you disciplined and doing like the routine things every day. And man, since
puts you in a good state of mind, it sounds like it really puts you in a good state of mind.
100%, bro. It's the best mindset I've ever had in my entire life at this point. And like the thing is, before that, I had a good mindset. Like I just like maybe some parts were still like a little loose.
Not the most efficient, yeah.
Yeah, but now I'm like I feel I'm firing on every aspect, and like I'm fucking going. And like, bro, I've already lost like 10 pounds almost. My skin is much better. Like I have no inflammation. I feel great. I sleep better. You know, I'm way more efficient in the mornings. I wake up earlier and I actually like write, I plan my day, I plan my week. I fucking get everything done. It's like, it's nuts. Like
what's the hardest part been? What's the hardest part of this been?
The hardest part? Honestly, like, it's just like the, like reminding yourself that you have to work out twice. But it's actually not as hard as it seems. It's just like, the hardest part is just staying consistent. Because like once you do the workouts, like it's like you're already there. You're already doing it and it's fine. It's actually not bad. And I enjoy doing it now. But it's just a matter of like being used to doing that every day. But that's the point. It's hard. It's 75 hard. That's the name of the challenge. So
I can tell you from personal experience that like the whole working out thing is just as much mental as it is physical, because like I like to think I've never been out of shape, but there's been moments I've been, let's say, in worse shape than others, but I've been playing sports my whole life. So what happens at a certain stage is when you work out regularly, let's say 5-6 times a week, it actually becomes much harder to not work out, because the feeling you get from not working out, the mental state you're in, is so foggy and messy that it's like your body's almost rejecting any like laziness. You want to work out because that's the only state you know that you're in your fullest. Any other state is like, what is this? Like, why do I feel like this? Feels like you're fucking having a stroke. It's so once you get consistently at it, like let's say you get 7 days a week for a year, it'll be harder for you to take a rest day than for you to work out.
100%. Like, consistent. Just showing up. It's just showing up.
It's weird the way our brains work, building habits and stuff like that. Like, just it's all about good habit building. And it sounds like you're already on the right fucking path. This thing actually sounds really good. I was just looking up the website.
Yeah, man.
A lot of disclaimers, a lot of red writings and a lot of disclaimers.
A lot of people fail, bro. A lot of people fail. Yeah. But in my head, I'm like, there's no way I'm fucking failing this. Like, I'm all in, bro. Like, I don't give a fuck. I'll sacrifice everything if I have to.
I love that. Damn. All right. Yeah. Beautiful. So when do you come to Spain, I guess, is the last stretch here. Like, this is what I do, man. Actually, the people have said, like, the podcast has just become you telling people to come visit you in Spain. Like, I'm like... What do you want me to do, man?
Soon, like, man. I don't know. I mean, like, I want to get to a point in my career where I can have the freedom to just, like, fly there for, like, a few days and then come back.
Not worry about it.
Not worry about
it. First class.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I don't know, like, why not? You know, I everyone's like, oh, stay humble or whatever. Or, like, you know, why do you have to go first class? Because that's what I value, is the freedom, right? That's freedom.
Who the fuck is saying this, by the way? Have they ever flown coach? The fucking back pains you have? You're a little sardine. Who's saying these things?
Saying this as like a skinny.
It's uncomfortable for me, dude.
That's what I'm saying. How do you think I feel like my whole life being a fat guy? Like, that's why
I can't imagine.
That's why I'm so against it. But at the same time, that's why I'm losing the weight mostly, because I couldn't fit on planes, bro. It's an actual struggle. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, is because like I never want to have to fucking worry about that in my life again. And that's why I really value first class too, is just like the freedom to, because like I don't spend money on other shit. I don't care to buy a supercar or watch or bullshit. Like I'm loyal to the chains I have because my boy owns a company and like I only wear those chains. I don't have to pay for it because like, you know, I just put them on and you know they just hook it up, and it's been like that for years, right? So it's like I don't buy random clothes that I don't need. Like I just wear the same shit every day. When I want to fly, bro, like I want to actually like enjoy my time flying. So
anyone that's saying this is absolutely nonsensical, because coach flying is
it's garbage.
Fucking nightmare.
It's garbage. Fucking garbage.
But the money thing is like, it's good like to have that mindset, because as you're, you know, you're getting bigger, you're getting more attention, you're getting more money, you're getting all these things. Like it's just good they keep a level head, man. Because
yeah,
they could go bad as well. Like that you couldn't get too much of that shit. The only thing that money has really changed here for, like, I'm not making what I used to make engineering wise, but I'm making a good living here. The only thing that I ever think about money wise, I'm like, I can buy a fucking $10 cocktail. I can buy a burger. I can buy these little things and not have to think about every penny. Like, I'm not trying to, I can enjoy the little things and never have to, I bought the wrong electronic today. Fuck, I lost $20. I'll go buy a new one. Like, it's such a small, I know it sounds stupid, but it's such a small thing that makes such a big difference in life.
Yeah, I know. But that's the thing. It's like, well, not everyone values the same things anyway, so it doesn't matter, but I don't know. This is just how I see it. So it is what it is.
My guy, beautiful. I mean, we've already done 50 minutes. I don't want to keep you longer than I have to. I'm going to plug everything you have. Obviously, the special, Your Sugar Daddy's on YouTube. Links down below. Instagram channel down below. I mean, you're not listening to my podcast and not knowing who Nima is. So what am I even doing here? I don't even know. I'm fucking stupid. Anything else that you're working on you want to plug?
No, man. That's it. Like, just continuing to pump out the content daily. And that's it. And work on the next tour for stand up.
As Joey Diaz would say, stay hard, black dicks in your ass. I'm out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what he says. You cocksuckers.